Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this July the 8th, 2025. Talking about the fact that today is National Be a Kid Again Day by whoever decides what national days it is. I don't think there's a board that jury reviews these things or how these decisions are made, but there's a list out there on the internet, so we'll play along. National Be a Kid Again Day. One person texts us and says, I'd like to be able to roll down a hill without worrying about breaking every bone or nursing achy joints for days after. Someone else says, I want to have to not pay bills like when I was a kid. And somebody else texts us and says, Dave, I'd like to remember things like I could when I was a child. It's National Be a Kid Again Day. Keep the text coming at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, and I'll share some more of the things that you adults wish you could do again as you could when you were a child. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit and welcome in Bill Alexander, the CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Fund. Morning, Bill.
Morning, Dave. How are you? I really appreciate you having me on to help tell the story.
Yeah, and what a great story it is. Glad you're here. The headline, Law Enforcement Fatalities Down 50% Compared to Last Year. Wow. I am the father of a sheriff's deputy, and I am glad to hear that. Do we know why law enforcement officer deaths are so dramatically down this year?
You know, that's a great question, Dave. I don't know that I have a definitive answer, but I have two thoughts. One of those is we, under our officer safety and wellness sort of banner and pillar, have for many years been working to both create and find and then push out to the degree that we can programs and best practices, which we hope make it safer for the men and women out on the roads. And we're not alone in that endeavor. I think IACP, International Association of Chiefs of Police, Police Executive Research Forum, Paternal Order of Police, many police organizations are constantly thinking about ways to make it safer for the men and women out on the roadways. And to some degree, I hope that those programs are reflected in the numbers that we're reporting today. But I don't think that is all of it. I also think, while we are not a political organization, I do think the tone, the tenor, the rhetoric, the sort of change in mindset and certainly reporting around law enforcement and law enforcement-related issues, I think has turned the dial a little bit in terms of the public action or reaction towards law enforcement, not universally, not for everyone. And I know a substantial portion of your audience probably, you know, loved and respected law enforcement always over the last 10 years. But I think that there's enough of a portion of our population who have sought to really, instead of de-escalate, escalate situations with the police, to really find ways to fight the police. I think the sort of tone and rhetoric again over the last 6 to 8 months has certainly changed, and maybe that, to some small degree, is also influencing the numbers.
And it can't be ignored that not only here locally, but nationwide, we have seen in the years since the height of a violent crime surge during and after the pandemic, nationwide, we're seeing less and less violent crime right now. And that's got to have some role, I guess. And if police are confronting fewer and fewer violent criminals and responding to fewer and fewer violent crime scenes, that you would hope that that would mean they are overall safer.
Yes, absolutely.
And you must look at that as well, as you study not only the law enforcement memorial side of things, but law enforcement in general. Kind of tell us a little bit about what your organization does.
Well, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund was created originally by Congress, an act of Congress, which just allowed for us to collect donations from all across the country. We have never received so much as a penny from the federal, state, or local government. Every penny that has served to drive this mission has all come from generous individuals across the country and to some degree corporate partners who have found value in initially memorializing and honoring the men and women who have died in the line of duty. Right now on our memorial, there are 24,412 names representing every man and woman who has died serving this country in some law enforcement capacity across the last 250 years. And of course, tragically, every single year we add new names to what is a living memorial. Every single year, historically, we add hundreds of new names to those sacred walls representing those who have most recently died. So that has been and continues to be the cornerstone of our organization. But just across the street from the memorial is a world-class museum where we try to tell the story of American law enforcement, oftentimes in ways that I think many people have not seen or heard before. And then we have a third pillar we refer to as officer safety and wellness. It's where we as an organization in part try to take from some of the data that we're talking about today. What are the trends? Where, how, why are men and women facing too many tragic and fatal outcomes? And then creating programs or finding programs from some of our partners and pushing those out, hopefully to a meaningful degree, and turning that risk dial down for the men and women out on the streets trying to protect us.
We're talking with Bill Alexander, CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. When we come back, while it is worth obviously celebrating a 53% decrease this year compared to last year in the number of law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty, the number is still way too high. We'll find out how many officers have died so far in 2025 and what we can do to help drive that number down even further as we continue our conversation with Bill Alexander. If you have something you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask, jump on a line or text us now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. We're back to discuss this great news, but still too high a number of dead officers in the first half of 2025 after we check on WWL traffic. Bill Alexander is on the live line. He's the CEO of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and sharing some really encouraging news with us today that there was a 53% drop this year for the first half of the year compared to last year for the first half of the year in the number of law enforcement officers who were killed in the line of duty. Bill, we talked a little bit about why that may be. I mean, that's a huge, huge drop. So I think it's hard to pinpoint what may have changed. Hopefully it's a trend. But still, far too many police officers are being killed in the line of duty, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're reporting that so far in the first 6 months this year, 42 men and women did not make it home after they went to their shift, did not make it home to their children, to their spouses, to their families. And so even one officer death is obviously more than we would otherwise ever want to report. But the reality is we as a profession, and I retired myself about 3 years ago, have been shooting towards a goal we call below 100 for the better part of a century to try to get the number of men and women who die in any calendar year below 100. And we have never successfully reached that goal. We have been over 100 for every year that we have been reporting. So this year, it seems like, you know, knock on wood, it seems like we are trending in a direction where we might actually beat that goal, which is, you know, very, very encouraging for everyone in law enforcement. But that does not mitigate the very real danger that exists for the men and women out on our streets protecting us.
Yeah, congratulations to you and the law enforcement community for getting to this milestone, at least for the first half of this year, and seeing this dramatic decrease. What are still the most common reasons that a man or woman serving in law enforcement does not come home for their shift? What are the causes of death in the line of duty that still lead what you see across the country?
Sure. We are reporting usually puts the deaths in three major categories. One of those is firearms fatalities. Of course, there's another word for that, murder. It means someone on the opposing side had a firearm and shot and killed a police officer. Traffic fatalities are always a big number. Traffic fatalities include everything from if the officer is outside of their car, maybe directing traffic or on a traffic stop, to the officer being in their car, being in a single or multi-car accident. It also includes motorcycle accidents and things of that nature. And then the final category we call other. It's mostly medical events like heart attacks, as maybe they're trying to effect an arrest. And it also historically includes what historically, again, is very small numbers of, say, an officer being stabbed or an officer going into a burning home to save someone. Those kinds of incidents end up in the other category. But your question was, what are the usual high number marks? And those are almost every single year, traffic fatalities and firearms fatalities. And the firearms fatalities are really those are the really discouraging ones, because you know someone on the opposing end took some purposeful action to try to end an officer's life.
Yeah, I think the one that most of our listeners can affect on that would be the second, the traffic fatalities one, that reminds us that we should move over for emergency vehicles, that if we see a police officer on the side of the road, we should get away from them. If they're on the right shoulder, move over to the left lane so you're not getting too close to them. Pay attention. Don't drive distracted. And just if we all pay a little more attention and a little more courteous, hopefully we can help bring that number down even further.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point. Every single year, too many men and women out on the sides of the road doing traffic stops or investigating an accident get slammed into and crushed by cars and motorists who are oftentimes not paying attention and driving and distracted, exactly as you talked about. So to the effect, to the any impact that you and I might be able to have on the audience in terms of reminding them of that very real danger to those men and women out on our roadways, please try to pay attention and give them time and space to do their job safely.
Yeah, and most of our listeners, thank God, are not shooting police officers. Obviously, we would encourage nobody to ever confront a police officer with a firearm or get engaged in into a confrontation with a police officer with a firearm. But even those of you who may get pulled over at a traffic stop or may be arrested when you don't feel that it is justified, or whatever your interaction with the police are, you talked about how the stress of being a police officer leads to heart attacks and other medical emergencies for officers. If we could all just kind of take it down a notch, cooperate, get along at the scene, make de-stress the situation, and hopefully everything works out later, then maybe that could help in that category as well.
Oh, Dave, you're preaching to the choir. I wish everyone in the media would sing that exact song. I think in lots of ways over the last 10 years, I might be able to put a compelling argument that lots of people in media have been pressing, points that I think have exasperated and escalated situations with law enforcement and encouraged citizens to really try to fight police. Your words echo with me more than you know. I'm really touched when people of your stature and people in the media help tell the story that law enforcement is out there trying to do the right things for the right reasons. And they might be making a mistake, but the time to resolve that mistake is not fighting on the side of the road. Use the judicial system as it's meant to be. Go make a complaint at the police station. Tell the judge your story, anything along those lines, without fighting the police.
Well, Bill, I hope we can talk again in early January, and you have accomplished that goal of being under 100 this year, and we continue to see those numbers decrease. Thanks for joining us here on WWL, and again, congratulations on the progress that we have seen in the law enforcement community.
Thank you so much, Dave. I look forward to talking to you in January.
All right. Bill Alexander here on WWL. And I got to tell you, as the father of a cop, I still get nervous every single shift that my kid goes on. I know he's been well trained. I know he's got his head about him. I know he takes the proper precautions. But as a parent, you can never stop worrying when you have a kid who is in law enforement. All right. Coming up, speaking of kids, some great texts coming in on this National Be a Kid Again Day. I'll share some of those after the news. 7:44, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday morning. I call it Not Monday, just stressing that, well, it's not Monday. It's also National Be a Kid Again Day. One person texts us and says, I'm always a kid at heart, and they're 63 years old. Another person says, on this Be a Kid Again Today, I wish I could go to sleep at night and not wake up multiple times to use the restroom like I could sleep through the night when I was a kid. Keep the text coming. What do you wish you could do now as an adult that you did as a kid on this National Be a Kid Again Day? We've heard many reports recently about how bad the real estate market has turned in Southeast Louisiana, that Greater New Orleans is now one of...
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The worst real estate markets, if not the worst in the nation, according to different rankings. The top 10 least competitive. We're in the top 10 toughest real estate markets. So what has changed so dramatically so quickly, and what can we do about it? Ali Bustamante is a professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at UNO and joins us to help us understand what's going on. Good morning, Professor Bustamante.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what's going on with the real estate market here, different than elsewhere in the country, that has put us in a position where it is not necessarily a great time to be making a real estate transaction?
Yeah, we're actually seeing a very interesting dynamic in the New Orleans metro, where we're actually seeing slower sales but rising prices. In fact, the median home price in New Orleans was about $332,000 this past month, which is actually about a 2% increase over the year. However, at the same time, we're actually seeing homes, you know, staying on the market for a lot longer, while at the same time, inventory is kind of like creeping in. So we really have this very interesting dynamic where you would imagine that with the slower sales, prices go down, but they're actually going up.
So if you have more patience, you'll actually make more money in this market as it is right now compared to how it was just a little while ago.
It really is, you know, a slight shift in the trend where it's becoming a bit more of a buyer-friendly environment. To your point, you know, patience really pays off. Homes are typically in the market now for nearly 70 days. That's about a 15% increase over the past year. And, you know, if you're in the market again long enough, you're actually going to see that typically, sale prices are actually going about 75% of asking. So if you can really weather that market, if you can look for those diamonds in the rough for those deals, it is definitely becoming a more buyer-friendly market.
You know, it was just a little over 3 years ago, I sold a home in Metairie and bought a home in LaRonger. And at that time, it was such pressure on buyers to make an offer and quickly, as soon as a home came on the market. Remember, at that time, people were they weren't even going to see houses. A house would pop up on the market and they'd make above asking price offer on the spot without any inspections or anything else, because the houses were going so fast. And if you wanted to get a good one, you had to make an immediate offer and over asking. How has that changed so quickly in 3 years that now homes are staying on the market for maybe 3 months and people are getting 75% of what they're asking?
Yeah, and you know, and again, it's part of this shift that we're actually seeing. If you look at even just Jefferson Parish alone, you're actually looking at, you know, there's been considerable price growth, about 14% over the year, but sales have been down, you know, about 16%. And so it really tells us, again, about, you know, there's trickling inventory. Inventory is overall up in the New Orleans metro area. You know, so that means we're seeing a lot more listings. But to your point, you know, just a few years ago where, you know, you had a really jump on the home that you liked and, you know, put down those down payments and no inspections as soon as you can. But really now buyers are having that luxury of again, waiting about 2 months or so before they actually make these deals. And one of the interesting things that we're actually seeing right now is that there is this very wide shift in where these kinds of dynamics are happening. If you look at Jefferson Parish, again, inventory is still growing, prices are going up. But if you look at the North Shore, there where we actually saw some of the biggest, home sale price growth over the past couple of years, that slowed down significantly. We're actually seeing falling prices and sales decline in the North Shore.
So what are the economic factors that make these things change so rapidly?
You know, it's if we're actually not seeing prices rise as much as they could potentially, just because interest rates are still really high. You know, the average 30-year mortgage is still close to 7%, which is really and you know, you couple that with you know, high home insurance costs, and that's really a huge affordability factor for most folks in the state. And you know, again, we're seeing some trickling inventory, but we're not actually seeing a whole lot of inventory jump into the market. And so these are really some big pressures that are kind of counteracting each other. We probably have relatively slower demand than would otherwise happen if we had much lower interest rates. But at the same instance, we actually see these counteracting pressures of just, you know, these non-home price kind of factors like, you know, mortgage rates and home insurance costs that are actually like keeping a lot of folks out of the market as well.
Yeah, and that's where I was going next. Insurance is unbelievably expensive. And I think maybe people are starting to come to terms with the fact that they may be able to afford the note. They may be able to even swing the interest rates. But then you add in the ridiculously highest in the nation cost of homeowners insurance, add in flood insurance on top of that. And for many people, it prices them out of the market now. And maybe that's part of the reason that it's such a challenge here compared to other parts of the country.
You know, that's a big factor. You know, the flip side of that, right, is that for rents are actually still creeping upward. And so right now we actually see in the region average rent is about $1,700 a month. And so it really is a matter of, you know, what can you ultimately, you know, squeeze out of your own budget, just because, you know, rents are creeping up. There's no sign that they're going to stabilize or go down anytime soon. A big factor behind that is the fact that we're not necessarily seeing a lot of new housing supply on the market. You know, we're hoping the Federal Reserve drops interest rates, you know, any month now. That's what they've been saying freely for the past year or so, but we haven't really seen them move in a very aggressive manner to drop interest rates. But it's really not till we're seeing a lot of these other factors change that, you know, it's really leaving folks with very few options.
Yeah, and the Fed just said they would have dropped interest rates at least once by now, but because of the tariffs, they weren't able to do that. So we'll see if and when the Fed does feel comfortable driving interest rates back down and maybe making homeownership more accessible to more people and being more good news for sellers. When we come back, I've got a number of questions people have texted us for Professor Bustamante. I'll ask those. Is it time to buy a rental property? One person wants to know. We'll ask Professor Bustamante if he thinks it's a good time to invest in a home that you are going to rent out. And more of your questions after this. Check on traffic on WWL. Talking with UNO Economics and Finance Professor Ali Bustamante, a text message comes in, Professor. It says, Dave, I have money saved to renovate my house, but should I instead consider buying a rental property in this market?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different factors there, right? In terms of the renovation aspect, as I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, home prices are still going up. Again, not as much as they've been over the past few years, but, you know, in terms of the actual equity that you get out of any kind of these investments, we should be expecting some sort of premium still there. So it's not going to, you know, we shouldn't be expecting that, you know, you should fear putting money into the home because, you know, home sale prices are going to decline anytime soon. We're not seeing that at all. On the flip side, you know, we are seeing a lot of folks who, you know, over the past few years, they probably had short-term rental properties, and now they're switching those towards, you know, more traditional monthly rental properties. And a big reason for that is just because the demand is extremely high. And so that's really a part where, again, we're seeing rents increase right now. You know, we've actually seen rental prices increase about 28%, 29% since 2020. And so that is really a really strong market right now that a lot of folks are looking at.
So if people have some money to invest, rental property, not a bad place to put that money right now is what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, the rents are, there's no indication they're going down, but they're, you know, rising at much higher rates than home sale prices are.
All right. A lot of work involved in being a landlord, but if you've got the time and you've got the money, you can make pretty good money renting out a property. Somebody else says, I have a house in Harahan in a nice area to sell. And would it make sense to spend the time and money to renovate it before putting it on the market, or are people looking for more as is or fixer uppers?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, I think right now, you know, putting any kind of money into a property for renovations, I really do think there is a payoff there. You know, when you look at some of these discounts that we're talking about, right? Like, I mean, in terms of you know, homes sitting on the market for about, you know, 70 days or so, you know, you're looking at those properties that are probably not in better shape. So especially if you're looking to have your property be one of those that you know, it's going to draw a lot of buyers, it's going to sell relatively fast. This is where, you know, quality of the home and looking at more, you know, more recent updates, more recent renovations, as well as things like 45 roofs and other kinds of, you know, factors that may mitigate some of these high insurance costs. That's where it really pays off.
Yeah. And of course, that 70 days on the market is the average. So that means that half of houses are selling faster, half are taking even longer. One person texts us and says, my mom lived in Old Jefferson. We just sold her house. Had an open house on a Saturday. We sold it in 3 days, 4 views, 4 bids. That's the exception, not the rule these days, though, right?
Exactly right. As I mentioned, you know, before, Jefferson Parish is actually one of those areas where you've seen a lot of price growth. You know, sales have actually been relatively down over the year, but it's really, you know, where if there is going to be a home on the market, you know, there's relatively low inventory in Jefferson Parish. That's where you should be really expecting a pretty big bang for your buck in terms of getting a sale done pretty quickly.
Professor Bustamante, anything else you want to share with us as we talk about how the real estate market here in Greater New Orleans is not doing as well as that around the country, but you say still it's a healthy market?
You know, it's a relatively healthy market. It's shifting towards buyer. The one thing I would just, you know, caution folks is a lot of folks are waiting for that recession to come to, you know, erode housing prices, you know, put them over a cliff. But we're not seeing that anytime soon. The economy is still resilient, although, again, it's, you have a lot of these, you know, tariff factors, other forms of economic uncertainty. But right now, we should be on trend over the next year or two.
Thank you, Professor Bustamante. We appreciate you joining us here on WWL. No, we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
And I will add this, that buying a house in Metairie and then selling it 25 years later for more than double what I paid for it was the best investment I ever made in my life. Now I'm a true believer in investments in real estate. Coming up, we're going to talk about new campaign finance rules.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.